Today I'm summarizing my message from Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through the end of the chapter. And he starts off by addressing the Jews and their false understandings of the gospel and really, in a sense, who they are. And so he starts off by pointing out what they consider themselves to be. He says in verse 17, "If you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law, and boast in God, and know his will, and approve the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of the truth." So maybe they're feeling pretty good about themselves right now. They're special people and have been throughout history of mankind. They receive the promises, the law, the prophets, the miraculous acts, and it's through their blood the Messiah of all mankind came, or would come, as they understood it. So there is this absolute truth that Israel are God's chosen people, and that God worked through them to bring about the salvation of mankind in Jesus Christ the Messiah, who was a Jew. But at this time, they had, I believe he's addressing ones who may hear who have rejected the Messiah and are depending on the law for their salvation rather than on Jesus Christ. So he talks about their responsibility. In verse 21, he says, "You therefore who teach one another, do you not teach yourself?" So he's asking them, do you practice what you preach? I was reading a book by Spurgeon recently. He posed the situation of a preacher that when he was in the pulpit, people would say he never ought to step out of it. But when he was out of the pulpit, people thought he should never step back into a pulpit. See, his message and his life did not align. And that's what Paul is pointing out here. He continues on in verse 21, "You who preach that one shall not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, through your breaking of the law, do you dishonor God?" So what is the outcome of these questions? He really says in verse 24 that the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And so we see their hypocrisy. It actually brought shame to the name of God among the ones in darkness, the foolish, the blind, because those who had the elements necessary were foolish and blind themselves. So he sums up his argument by turning to the Jewish man's outward expression of the covenant that God made with them, which is circumcision. In verse 25, he says, "For indeed circumcision is of value if you practice the law." So, of course, there is value as God's people, or to be God's people, and to have followed the ritualistic commands which God had in place for the nation. In the Old Testament, of course, ultimately depending on faith in the coming Messiah. But if you are transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So the outward signs mean nothing if it's not on the inside. So if the uncircumcised man keeps the requirement of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? So there's this understanding that one came by in belief, such as Ruth, "I want your God to be my God." She came in as a child of God through faith. Verse 27, "And he who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you who, though having the letter of the law and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law?" So in this following of God, it actually condemns those who do not follow by heart. "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly." So he boils it all down, and he gets to this. It's about the inside. And he continues on in that verse. He says, "And circumcision is that which is of the heart." It's about the heart. He says, by the Spirit. This new heart is given by the Holy Spirit. It's not given by the letter. This new heart is not given by the keeping of the law. And his praise is not from men. This new heart is not seeking man's approval, as the Pharisees did. But it's from God. It receives the peace that truly matters. Peace with the Holy God, whose wrath is revealed against all unrighteousness of men who know the truth and yet suppress it, and whose righteousness is gifted through faith in the heart of flesh and not of stone. And this is taught in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 10:16 says, "So circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no longer. Jeremiah 4:4, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and remove the foreskins of your heart. Men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, or else my wrath will go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your deeds. But there's also beautiful promises found throughout the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 30 verse 6 says, moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul so that you may live. Ezekiel 11:9, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and remove the foreskins of your heart, men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Isaiah 44:4, 2 through 4, and Joel 2 as well, for I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. God is declaring that he is going to do a mighty work, that he changes hearts. And there's this wonderful promise found throughout the Old Testament. So we take part in this. We receive the righteousness of God, becoming his children by the work of the Holy Spirit, being made righteous, going from alien and far off to being his children. And therefore, we're called to preach the gospel. We are called to be the light and salt of the earth. So may we, by our new God-given heart and his grace, live our lives both by our preaching and our living, draw people to satisfying salvation, quenching Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And may we never bring shame to his name. I think those are some very practical applications that can be made out of this passage. And if you're depending on the law, depending on being good enough for your salvation, take these passages to heart and recognize that salvation does not come by the law, by the letter of the law, but rather by the Spirit. So focus on the inward and call out upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved.